Last week, we like to talk at this time of the year about different halachas that come up when one is traveling on vacation, because many, many in our community will be traveling. So a question that comes up every year, and not only during vacation season, but throughout the year it comes up when people go away for Shabbos, and that question is, when we're staying in a hotel for Shabbos, where are we supposed to light Shabbos candles? That is a problem that comes up not only when we go on vacation, but also sometimes when you have a family simcha somewhere, and people are going to be staying in some kind of accommodation, and they're going to be eating somewhere else, this is a very, very big question as to what one is supposed to do with regard to the mitzvah of Hadlakos Neiros Shabbos. So let's give a little bit of background. And that background begins as follows. When you look in the Rambam, and you try to understand what is the foundational aspect, what is the reason why we have an obligation to light Neiros Shabbos every week? What's the purpose? What's the goal? So the Rambam writes as follows. The Rambam can be found in the fifth parak of Hilchos Shabbos, where he says, number one, let's dispel a very famous misnomer, which is Echad Anashim ve'Echad Nashim Chayavin Lios Bibateyam Ner Dalek B'Shabbos. The Rambam says, number one, don't forget that the obligation to have Neiros Shabbos in your house is not only upon women, it's a chiyuv on a man as well as a woman. So if you have a man living by himself who's not married, he has to make sure to light the Neiros Shabbos. And if you have a woman who happens not to be home for Shabbos, her husband has to remember to do that. I was just engaging in conversation in your house, David. There was last week when we were together with that Talmud Chacham who was here from Eretz Yisrael, who runs the Slonimer Yeshiva. So there was somebody who was here, who's the Menahel, who's the Rosh Hashiva of the Slonimer Yeshiva, and he told me that the Slonimer Rebbe, the first Shabbos, the Nesiva Shalom, after his wife was Nefteres, it became a very big scene. All of his children came for Shabbos to spend together with their father, and it so happens that the Rebbetzin Nesiva Shalom, I don't know what her name was, but Rebbetzin Nesiva Shalom, her big avoda of the whole week was Halakas Neiros Shabbos. And they said that she would stand there in front of the candles for a half an hour and be mistalel and cry. So all the children were standing around watching what their father was going to do, the Nesiva Shalom, the first Shabbos that he had to light candles instead of his wife. And obviously that was going to be a very dramatic experience in that house. So they all watched, and the Slonimer Rebbe turned around and he saw all of his children were wailing as he was getting ready to light the candles. And he turned around to all of them and he said, listen, kol zaman so long as your mother was sick, and apparently she was sick for many years, so long as your mother was sick, none of you in the room are doctors or nurses. None of you know how to prescribe medication. None of you were really able to do anything for her. She was sick. Unfortunately, we tried whatever we could to make her as comfortable as possible. But in the end of the day, you didn't really have anything that you were able to do for her to improve her condition. However, now is your first Erev Shabbos that you actually have an opportunity to do something for your mother. Now's the first time. Now that she's not suffering anymore. And now the Gemara says, Chazal tell us that children have the opportunity to bring schusim to their parents. Now is your first time that you have the chance to actually do something for your mother. What are you crying about? Isn't this an amazing opportunity? Obviously, we would have rather that mom would still be here, that the Rebbetzin would still be alive. But if she's not here, let's look at one positive aspect. And that is, at least now we can help her. At least now we can do something. And he said, you should all sit down. Instead of crying now, meaningless tears, you should cry over a Tehillim. Cry for the Jewish people. Do a schus for your mother. And I thought it was a beautiful story. I was wondering why I was at your house last Sunday morning. Other than having breakfast together, I think it was also an opportunity to hear the story from this tzaddik who came from Yerushalayim. So that's number one. The Rambam says when we talk about Neiros Shabbos, yes, I'm happy to do breakfast with anyone on a Sunday morning. Just happened to be David invited me. I've been waiting 9 years. I'm here in the shul. Never got an invitation for a breakfast Sunday morning. Last week I had the chance. So the Rambam says, Echad anashim ve'echad nashim. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. Everyone has to make sure that they have Neiros Shabbos lit in their homes. Afilu ein lo mayochal. Even if a person doesn't have enough money for food, the Rambam says, which is so obviously that this person is destitute or in a very desperate situation. And normally we would say, if you don't have money for food, you shouldn't spend it on your lulav and esrog. You shouldn't spend it on your other items, on your matzah, on your maror. But yet over here, the Rambam says a person has to make sure, shoal al apsachim. You have to go knock on the doors to make sure you have Neiros Shabbos. V'lokeach shemenu madek asaner. Why? Says the Rambam, all of this, Neiros Shabbos is all part of Oneg Shabbos. Okay, that's what the Rambam says. Now, the Rambam in the 30th parak, which is 25 chapters later, so you got to keep on reading in the Rambam, over there the Rambam adds another dimension. And here he talks about how one is supposed to prepare for Shabbos. So he says, Kavod Shabbos means Somebody has to take a shower. Lirchotz panavia de veragla bechamin be'erev Shabbos. Take a warm shower. Get ready. And then he says, tarach lesakin beso, to have the house all set up. Make sure I set the table, he says. Make sure I mop the floors. And yia ner dalek. The Rambam says, this is part of the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. So here we see two different things. There's not only Kavod Shabbos, there's also Oneg Shabbos. Two components to the mitzvah of lighting ner Shabbos. Now, practically, what is the difference between Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos? I have to light candles. What's the difference why I have to do it? So number one, my father often quotes from the Vilna Gaon that he explains, what is the distinction between Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos? If you look carefully in the Rambam, when he describes Kavod Shabbos, says, you have to mop the floors, you have to take a shower. Notice, everything he talks about is something that you do in anticipation, in preparation for Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos is defined by everything that I do before Shabbos comes in. Oneg Shabbos means the experience that I have on Shabbos itself, and I have an obligation not just to prepare for Shabbos, but all of that is supposed to lead me to an ambiance, to a feeling, to a experience of what I'm supposed to feel on Shabbos of Oneg Shabbos. And here, what the Rambam points out is, lighting Shabbos candles is both an aspect of Kavod Shabbos, meaning I have to do it in advance of Shabbos, and secondly, the Rambam says, I also have to make sure that on Shabbos itself, I appreciate the experience of the candles, and that will elevate my level of Oneg Shabbos. This comes to a very real implication when it comes to Erev Yom Tov. By a show of hands, there are only a few women in the room. How many of you light candles on Erev Yom Tov, and how many of you light candles on Yom Tov night itself? Not going to embarrass anyone. So there are many, as we know, you're allowed to light a fire on Yom Tov. You're just not allowed to create a new fire. So there are many people who, when they come home from shul on the first night of Yom Tov, will go and light the candles right before Kiddush. You ever heard of this minhag? No? It's a mistake. The reason why it's not really such a great minhag is because over here, the Rambam says that we have a mitzvah of both Kavod and Oneg when we light the Shabbos candles. The Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov says, the same way we have a mitzvah of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos, we also have a mitzvah of Kavod and Oneg Yom Tov, which means if you translate that into the formula that the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Shabbos, that means the same way Shabbos candles need to be lit before Shabbos begins, so too Yom Tov candles need to be lit before Yom Tov begins. Even though on Yom Tov I'm allowed to light candles, it doesn't matter. Just because you're allowed to light it doesn't mean you should. You're supposed to light the candles before, in anticipation of Yom Tov, just like we do in anticipation of Shabbos as well. And similarly, the Balei HaTosfos write, what? Oh, so second night of Yom Tov is a problem. Second night of Yom Tov, we don't have a choice, because second night of Yom Tov, you can't light in advance, because like the Gemara says, there's no purpose. If the sun is still shining outside, why are you going to light? The lashon that the Gemara uses is, shraga b'tihara mayahani. What does it help if you're going to light candles? Shraga means you're going to have a candle lit when it's tihara, when the sun is shining outside. It doesn't do anything. There's no heter to light a fire on Yom Tov if there's no purpose for it. Ner shel batela, it's called. If a person is just lighting candles, just stump, no good reason. Is that permissible on Yom Tov? No, there has to be a reason for it, which is why in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch he has a big discussion whether a yahrzeit candle is something that is a ner shel batela, or would you say it's not really necessary, there's no pressing need for it, and especially today, what I tell everybody today, it's 2 days in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, whether you're allowed to do it. If we accept the opinion that you're not allowed to do it, it means you violate an Issur D'oraisa on Yom Tov. So you better be very careful. So in the olden days, there was no other option. Or maybe there was. It was hard to get. Today, just go to the supermarket before Yom Tov, buy a 3-day candle or a 2-day candle. We can all get those. And you don't have to shaila at all. Light the yahrzeit candle before Yom Tov begins. And it will last for the entire duration of Yom Tov. So that's a very easy way to get around the problem. But Rabbeinu Tam writes something interesting as well. Says Rabbeinu Tam, Im haya ner mudlak va'omeid. Let's say you have a candle that was already lit. Let's say I like to have fancy meals. So when I have the meal on Friday morning for breakfast, I light candles at the table, candle-lit breakfast. Tzarech lechabos v'lachzor lahadik. And I light a candle at the table, and then it just comes. You have an early Shabbos, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm being a couple Shabbos, I realize the candles from breakfast are still lit on the table. So I took care of one thing that's on my to-do list. Says Rabbeinu Tam, no. You have to make sure that you light the candles bedafka lekavod Shabbos. Why? Because if the only purpose of the Shabbos candles was Mishum Oneg Shabbos, then that's fine. I have the candles on my table. I'm going to enjoy my Shabbos. But if it's also an aspect of Kavod Shabbos, of showing that I'm doing something specific for the purpose of uplifting the experience of Shabbos, then I have to make sure that I put out that candle and light it specifically for the purpose of my Shabbos observance. And this is quoted the halacha in the Ramah. that if somebody has the lights on before Shabbos, if somebody has the candle lit before Shabbos, then should make sure to put it out and then put it back on and then light it again in order that they should be able to do it the covered Shabbos. What's a practical application of that? None of us have candles lit from breakfast. We don't do that. But we all have lights on in the house the whole afternoon. So my father's always machmir to go around the house, turn off all the lights right before Shabbos, and turn them back on. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. The point of doing this is that a person should make sure that you're doing something which shows that I'm interested in doing a specific action in order to uplift my experience of Shabbos. Now, how am I showing that if all the lights are on anyway? So the answer is you turn the lights off, then you turn the lights back on. Now, aside from this idea of Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos, the Rambam then introduces us to a third idea, which is mentioned in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. We won't get into the whole back and forth, but the Gemara says, you should light candles Mishum Shalom Bayis. Many people make a mistake. They think Mishum Shalom Bayis means, if I don't light the candles, my spouse is going to kill me. No, that's not what Shalom Bayis means. Mishum Shalom Bayis means, what kind of experience of Shabbos are we going to have if we don't have light in the house? We're going to be tripping, Rashi says there. I'm going to be tripping over the couches. I'm going to be tripping over my things, your things. Somebody left something on the floor. I'm going to get angry. We're going to start yelling at each other. Therefore, the Gemara says, Mishum Shalom Bayis, just a practical consideration. If you don't have lights on, you're not going to be able to experience a peaceful ambiance of Shabbos in your house. So very practically, the Gemara says, Neiros Shabbos are very important because it will bring to a feeling of Shalom Bayis. And based on that thing, I once saw an idea from Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach or Reb Eliashiv. I don't remember which one had this idea, but it's something that makes a lot of sense. They write, we're all familiar with the fact that a woman who forgets to be Madlik Neiros Shabbos gets a knas, and she has to light an extra candle, and it's very humiliating, and it's very overwhelming for a woman to be able to have to do that moving forward. So he says, what happens if a woman forgot to light Neiros Shabbos, but on the end of the day, the lights were all on in the house? It's not like the house was dark. It's not like anyone was tripping over anything. Everything was fine. The only thing I was missing was we didn't have Neiros Shabbos. So he says, a woman wouldn't get the knas in such a case. Why? Because the reason why she gets a knas is because we all had such a miserable Shabbos because you forgot to light the candles. But in this case, we didn't have a miserable Shabbos. Everything was fine. The lights were on. Shabbos ran as normal. Everything was fine. The only thing that was a little unusual was when we sat down to Kiddush on Friday night, we didn't have the candles on the table. Okay. It's not a good thing. We should try to remember to do it next time. But he says that's a reason enough to say that the woman wouldn't receive a knas because there was no lack of Shalom Bayis in the house as a result of the fact that she forgot to light the Shabbos candles. Now, as we mentioned before, when you were talking about second night of Yom Tov, this consideration of the Gemara of Shraga B'tiara Mayahani is a major problem in Zman Hazeh. It's a big problem in our generation because if we said there's no mashmos, there's no real mashmos in English means there's no real value. There's no real value to lighting the candles if it's light outside and I have all the sunlight. That really doesn't have any value to my Shabbos experience. So today, where we all have electric lights on, how do you have any value to your Shabbos candles? How do you make a bracha lehadig ner shel Shabbos when all those electric lights are on? Anyone ever think of this problem? So this is a problem that was discussed by all the greats of the last generation. Chana, you remember when I gave a shiur on this? My first year in the Young Israel Ludmir. It's shocking that I'm still alive. The women went insane. Really. They were. I think someone actually threw something at me. So, I think so. So, you know, you don't touch my Neiros Shabbos. That's what they said. We do things the way we do things. And then there was one woman I remember who came to my defense and said, no, I went to school in Beis Yaakov, and this is what they taught us also. Rabbi Schechter is not a reform rabbi. So, I was happy that she came to my defense. So, what is it? There's a discussion that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has, and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has, and Rabbi Avadya Yosef, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. All the Gedolim of the last generation are trying to deal with this problem. We all have electric lights. If you have electric lights, how do you make a bracha when you light the Shabbos candles? If that's exactly what the Gemara describes, Shraga B'tiara Mayahani. If I have lights that are being lit when it's light outside, then what does it help? How about if the lights are inside? Not just inside, right on top of the table, right next to the Shabbos candles. So what does it help? So my father often quotes what many of these great tzaddikim said, and they suggested that what you should do is as follows. You should turn off all your lights in the house right before Shabbos. Not all the lights in the house, but right where you're about to light Shabbos candles. Turn off the electric lights. Then turn them back on. Light the Shabbos candles. And when you make the bracha l'hadik ner shel Shabbos, it's really going on the electric lights. along with the electric lights, I'm also lighting Shabbos candles because that's part of how we observe Shabbos. But really, my bracha is me'ikar adin. It's really going on the electric lights that are in the room. I'm turning those on, l'kavod Shabbos Kodesh, and I'm making a bracha. Are electric lights really able to count? You're saying, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos? Is that really a ner? Does that really work? Now, 10 years ago, that was a different question than it is today. Now, we have all LED fluorescent bulbs. Nothing even gets hot. But it used to be that a bulb had a filament in it, if we can remember such a thing. So it got hot. And the Achronim assumed that was the same. That was the equivalent of a ner, because that was basically turning the light on. It gets hot. Just like when you ignite a fire, it gets hot as well. So that is what many of the Gedolim of the last generation suggest that you should really have in mind when you're making your bracha lahadik ner shel Shabbos for the electric lights that are on the that are in the house. And then along with that, you're going to also light the Shabbos candles as well. This is a big discussion when it comes to Neres Hanukkah, as well as Havdalah. When you make Havdalah, are you allowed to use an electric light for Havdalah, or perhaps not? They say in the name of Reb Chaim Moser, who was the great Gadol in Europe before the Holocaust, they say that Reb Chaim Moser Bedafka used to make Havdalah on an electric light in his house. Why? Now, first of all, if you have a frosted bulb, you can't make Havdalah on that because you can't see the filament. You can't see the yesh. But besides for that, Reb Chaim Moser said he preferred to do it on that. Why did he prefer? Because he said light bulbs were new, and people didn't realize that if you turn a light bulb on Shabbos, you violate a melacha d'araisa. So he said, if I'm going to use it for Havdalah, people will realize this is serious business. This is really considered a fire. If it's really considered a fire, they're going to be careful on Shabbos itself not to turn the lights on. So that's why he chose to do it that way. That's what they say in the name. I don't know if that's true, but that's what my father...
What? That was the bidding. If I went to Yeshiva in Long Beach, that was the bidding.
Always on the electric lights. So they say that Reb Chaim Moser Bedafka did that in order to teach people that this is something that is really... a malacha on Shabbos to turn on the lights would be something that we have to be very careful about. All of this leads us to the very important and relevant question that we started with, and that is, when I have the opportunity to be in a hotel for Shabbos, I'm going on a vacation, I'm going to a family simcha, all of us are going to be together, what am I supposed to do about Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos? That is a very important question. Now, of course, we cannot do anything that is against the wishes of the hotel. So if the hotel has very clear instructions that you're not allowed to light a fire in your room, then you're not allowed to light a fire in your room. So that's out of the question. You're certainly not allowed to do that. Now, some hotels put a scented candle in your room, correct? You've ever seen in a hotel? Sometimes they have a scented candle. If they don't mind you're lighting a scented candle, then it means they don't mind you're lighting a tea light either. No? Makes sense. Now again, to light for my 25 grandchildren is probably not a good idea. But to light, Mishum Zachar V'Shamar, to light two little tea lights in my room, if the hotel allows for it, is probably not just a big sakana. A couple of years ago, when right after the Shabbos, after the Meiron tragedy, so I was making early Shabbos, it was the summertime, and I was walking home from shul, and on my way home, I heard a bunch of fire trucks that were racing toward one of the blocks here. So whenever there's an emergency on Peninsula or somewhere around here, I always go just to make sure it's not somebody that we know, make sure they don't need any help. So I was walking with my children. I said, let's go check, make sure everyone's okay. So I don't know, I had a feeling it had something to do with summon Shabbos candles. It was right around the time when people were making Shabbos. So we walk down the block and we see that the family's standing outside. Actually, no, we made late Shabbos. We were just coming home from late Shabbos and this family had made early Shabbos. So what happened? They made early Shabbos. They had the Shabbos meal. They finished the Shabbos meal before I came home from shul. And they all went to sleep. They all went to sleep. And they left their Shabbos candles in the dining room lit. Not just did they leave them lit, they decided that as a schus for the Ilei HaNeshama for the 45 Kedoshim in Meiron who were killed, they were going to light 45 Shabbos candles. So they left 45 Shabbos candles lit in a house that wasn't even theirs, lit in the dining room. They all went to sleep upstairs. And lo and behold, the tablecloth caught on fire. Or the drapes, something caught on fire. And the whole house almost burnt down. So it's never a good idea to do anything that's against the fire code or to do anything that's not safe or to leave candles that are not being watched. It's just never a smart thing to do. So let's say the hotel does not allow you to light Shabbos candles in your room. Option B is, many, many times, if you're on a kosher program or if you're there for a simcha, they're going to set up a space downstairs in the lobby somewhere where they tell everyone to light candles. Now, is that something that is okay? That is actually something that is very, very problematic. and a very questionable and debatable thing to do. I'll explain to you why. Number one, the primary concern of doing that is the place where they set up is not a place where anyone gets any hana from. They have some corner or they set up some room somewhere where nobody sits, where nobody's eating, where nobody's reading, nobody's doing anything. So you're lighting Shabbos candles and you walk away. Everybody lights Shabbos candles, then they go daven with the minyan, or they go into the meal, or they go and make kiddush, whatever they do. They don't sit after they light Shabbos candles, they don't sit there and actually get hana, derive benefit from the candles themselves. So that's question number one is, what mashmos, what value do the Shabbos candles have when nobody's actually benefiting from them? That's number one. Number two, sometimes they'll put you in a tiny room and they have tons of people lighting. You ever came into that space and there's so much smoke from all the candles, it's so uncomfortable. I wouldn't even be able to sit there if I wanted to. So let's say I'm trying to be machmir and I want to get hana from the Shabbos candles. So I'm going to bring my sefer along with me, my tehillim. I'm going to sit for 10 minutes after I light. I'm going to make sure that I read by the candlelight. Beautiful. In these kinds of situations, I can't even do that because it's so uncomfortable, the place that they've set up. That's concern number two. Concern number three is this actually adding any light? Sometimes you're going to be put in a place where there are big chandeliers, where you have 100 other people who are lighting Shabbos candles. My candles aren't even noticed. Nobody would even notice if I didn't come down to light. Nobody would say, oh, there are two less candles that are lit.
That's in any dining room. Any dining room that we have today, you have a big chandelier.
So that we spoke about already. So how do you get around the chandelier problem? That's what we said.
You shut it off first.
Turn the lights off, turn the lights on. In a hotel, they don't give you that option, right?
Right.
So let's see. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? The Shaila begins with the Pesach and Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Samach Gimel in Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Halakos Neiros, where he writes as follows. Listen carefully. Beis o gimel balabatim ochlim b'makam echad. You have two or three families who are eating around the same table. So you have a few families who want to have a Friday night meal together, and they're all coming together before Shabbos to light candles. Yesh omrim, says the Shulchan Aruch, some say, shekol echad mevarech al menorah shalom. Each one lights their own candles, and each one is allowed to make their own bracha. Excuse me. V'yesh megabgei bedaber. Says the Shulchan Aruch, there are some who think that that is not an appropriate thing to do. V'nachon lizar b'safik brachos v'lo yivarech ala echad. Says the Mechaber, in my opinion, that's a safik bracha. I'm not sure that you're allowed to make a bracha l'hadik ner shal Shabbos. It's potentially a bracha l'batela. And therefore he says, you should be machmir. So the women are all allowed to light candles, no problem at all with lighting. But to make a bracha l'hadik ner shal Shabbos, that he says is very concerning, and that we would not allow. That's what the Mechaber says. Now, that's clear, and that's the conclusion of the Shulchan Aruch. And all the Svardash Poskim accept that. However, the Maharil, who's the father of Chachmei Ashkenaz, and many of the Piskei Harama come from the Maharil disagrees, and he says, the same case, Beis v'gimel balabatim ochlim b'makam echad. If I have two or three families eating in one place, kal echad mevarech ha-menorah shalo, afal pi sheyesh kvar or meruba. Each one is allowed to light their own candles, even though somebody else already lit, and we don't really need my candles. Why? Explains the Maharil. The reason why is because Ba'anias Daiti nearly the Yashev, the Kol Ma Dimitosif Ora. The more candles that are lit, the more light that I have around the table is going to add to the ambiance of Shabbos. Simcha Yisera Lahanos Ora. And based on this psak of the Maharil, that Ribuya Ora, that adding some light into what has already been put there, is going to be something significant and would warrant a new bracha of Lahadik Ner Shal Shabbos by the new couple that comes to light in the same table. Therefore, the Rama says, he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, when you have two, three families eating together, of course you're allowed a light. Okay, so now, what do you do with our case? Is this the same, or perhaps this is different? Is this the same, or perhaps this is different? There are some who argue, the only time the Rama said this is permissible and a woman would be allowed to light and make a bracha is when you have beis v'gimel balabatim, two or three families, and of course this is in a time when there were no electric lights. If you're going to have an extra two candles around the table, instead of having four, you're going to have six. It's actually going to add to the experience of the Shabbos table. But now when you're going to have an electric light on, or you're going to have 100 other people who are all here for the simcha lighting in the same place, there is no Tosefes Ora. It doesn't add anything. My two candles, nobody even notices. So maybe you'll say that this would be something that would not allow me to make a bracha on because after all, I'm really not adding anything significant to the experience of Shabbos. And maybe in this case, the Rama would agree to the Shulchan Aruch's psak, which was that I don't have a right to make a bracha, but I'm really not doing anything of import to the experience and the ambiance of Shabbos. And this is what The Shmira Shabbos Kalchasa writes, Reb Neivert, as well as some other Gedolei HaPoskim in our generation who say, V'hachi Adif, he says it's better, Mimasha Kama Nashim Adikas B'maka Machila De'ispe Machlokas HaPoskim, Im Kol Isha Yechole Levarech, is every woman allowed to make a bracha on her own? Probably not. And therefore he says it would probably be a bracha levatela. It would be best, he said, if one woman would like, make the bracha on behalf of everyone. Now the women are going to revolt from saying such a thing as well. You're telling me that I'm not going to be able to make my own bracha on the Halakas Neir Shabbos? Forget it. It's not worth anything. What am I going to light the candles without making the bracha? And that is something that will be very, very troubling to many women. And that is why my father always suggests that when you have the opportunity to be in a hotel for Shabbos, you should just light in your room. Now, how are you going to light in your room? Let's say the hotel doesn't allow you to do it. So what do? So you turn on the electric lights and you make a bracha, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, on the lights. Problem is, many of the hotel rooms only have LED or fluorescent. So what do then?
And then you want to go to sleep, the lights are on.
Oh, so you don't leave the lights on, you know, in the middle of the room. You put it in the bathroom, in the closet. Obviously, you don't make the bracha in the bathroom. But you turn the lights on, and that would be sufficient. So you have to make sure that it's not an LED. Many places do have LED lights, and there is no other option. So that's why you should try to plan in advance. You can buy, in variety, in one of the stores here, you can buy one of those little plug-in lights where you just turn it, and a little bulb will turn on. And that's the old-fashioned bulb. So again, it's a little bit annoying to do that before you go away. But, you know, to try to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, to try to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Halakas Neir Shabbos, this is something we should definitely give some attention to. Now, give me one second. In the Sefer Az Nidburu, which is a very beautiful Sefer by Rav Zilber in Bnei Brak, he says, "Bekol shekein bu'ulam ha'ochel shel hamalon." If I'm eating in a big dining room in the hotel, sheyesham alafim neiros me'orach hashmal, I have 1,000 candles. Why? Because I have big chandeliers. My candles are really not going to add anything. And therefore, he says, this is something that we should be careful about and make sure not to make the bracha when we are put in that kind of situation. Rav Moshe, as quoted by a number of his Talmidim, writes, "Bimalon b'cheder she'im ishtamshim la'or haner, e'malikim, v'imbirach hareza bracha levatela." If I have a designated space in a hotel where they have set aside room for me to be able to light the Shabbos candle, says Rav Moshe, if that's a space that's really not going to be used, meaning we're all just lighting and then we're going to go somewhere else to have the meal or to daven, but nobody's really doing anything around that space, Rav Moshe says that would be a bracha levatela, as we've just mentioned. When the Ramah says that you're allowed to do something and you're allowed to make a bracha as a riboy ha'or, that's only when you're actually doing something significant. And the case the Ramah talks about is beis v'gimel balabatim, where obviously there is something significant that is added by each person who lights the candles. However, in our situation, it's hard to argue that there's something that's of additional value by the extra candles that are being lit. And that is why one has to be very mindful of this before they go away for Shabbos, to make sure that they have the opportunity to light the Neir Shabbos properly. Question? Yeah.
When you were in Israel,